Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love. And this is the Mind His Business Show.
Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM if you are in the Omaha, Nebraska area. And worldwide if you are listening on the app, the Gospel Music Omaha app. Just type in Gospel Music Omaha on either iPhone or Android store. You'll find us there. Or if you're listening worldwide on our internet simulcast, that can be found at gospelmusicomaha.com. So there you go with all the intro. I'm happy to report that our website, it's mindhisbusiness.com. We now are set up. You can go back and listen to some past broadcasts right there on the website if you are so interested. We've had some people over the time say, hey, we'd like to listen to some of your past episodes. Well, we're getting them uploaded, so you'll see the last couple that we did. I'm happy to report that since I did my first broadcast around, I think the date on the first one was around 2012, but we started in earnest once we went live with the radio station in 2017. So as of this conversation we're having right now, we've got about 7 years worth of broadcasts, close to 400 episodes that we have done over the years. And we're getting all of those uploaded onto our website for historical purposes, as well as to allow you to be able to go back and listen to topics that might have interested you in the past. Or if you're new to the broadcast and you kind of want to know what we're all about, you'll be able to listen to all of those episodes right there on the website. It's mindhisbusiness.com. So more to come on that. Make sure that you are following us on social media. All of our social medias are at mindhisbusiness. The radio station social medias are at Gospel Music Omaha. So find us wherever you are social. And we would love for you to join up with us. I don't necessarily believe in followers, because we're all supposed to be, as believers, following the same leader. And that leader is Jesus Christ. But if you would like to keep up with what it is that we're doing, that's a good way to be able to do that, is to subscribe to the various social media channels. And of course, always tune in to the radio station 100.3 FM, Gospel Music Omaha. So there you go with all of our intro. I think Love Love has got a couple more social media sites she's setting up for the live stream. So we're giving her a moment to get that going.
They're set up. I'm just trying to make sure that they can see both of us. That's all.
Okay. Well, I think that we've got a lot to talk about this week. And it took me a while to kind of think about some of the things that I wanted to talk about this week. It didn't come to me immediately. Usually I ask the Holy Spirit, what would you like the people to know this week? And he just leads and guides the conversation in a direction that we get feedback all the time that says, man, that was exactly what I needed to hear, or that was informative, or I never knew about that before. We try to bring things on this broadcast that you're not going to get out of the typical mainstream media, but that they are things that we believe that believers want to know to be strengthened during these end times. So, all right. That looks good. So how was your week this week, Love Love?
Wonderful.
She said wonderful. One word answer.
Yeah.
Just short, sweet, and
hey,
to the meat.
Listen, wonderful and blessed and being patient with myself and understanding and letting the Lord use me. And y'all know how it is. And also, too, just thinking about what it is that I want to, how do I want to make it happen for showing these signs and symbols. I need somebody out there that can get with me and help me. Come on now. Is there anybody out there? Nobody responded that they would help me to get these symbols. And these symbols are basically, and I have the symbols, by the way. So it's not that I don't have the symbols. I have the symbols. I just need to get them from my iPhone and either print them or type them. And Kinko's is not the place, just so you know. So if you say Kinko's, it's going to be...
Well, you can go to the library. You can go to Do Space.
I thought I could go to the library, but you can't go to the library because the way that they print, because I thought maybe I could do four on each page.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work that way. They do full pages if you're going to do the printing. So what it is I'm trying to get these symbols that are around us normally that you don't know, that are basically secular symbols, and they basically show I'll just say demonic symbols. They're demonic symbols. They're worldly symbols that are right in front of your face all the time, that you would never ever dream, that basically say thank you, Satan. And we're not trying to thank Satan for nothing. So that's the reason why I'm being very discreet in what I'm asking. So if you would like to help me, please let me know. What I want to do is at least print four of them on a page. That way, when I show them to you, they'll be facing you the right way and not the opposite way, the opposite direction. And that's what it is that I need to do. So if you're out there, please, if you will, give me a call, okay? And normally we'll say call the radio station. However, there are people that said they've been calling and no one's answering the radio station number. So
that's not true.
That's what they've been saying. That's what they've been telling me.
I had someone try to call, and they called a couple of times, and I couldn't even hear them. So I said, send me a text.
So if that was you, we apologize. So the number that you have, it says that you said Jackie can send a text?
Yes.
Okay.
Just send a text message.
Send a text message to, tell the number out loud.
402-819-8941. 8941.
Okay. So if you'd like to help me, please send a text message to 402-819-8941 to help me print out these symbols on regular paper, not glossy paper. And I would like to just do four of the symbols. And to show you what I'm talking about, I'm just going to show you, okay? Could you bring those back down? I'm just going to show you those type of symbols like that, okay? That's all I'm trying to do. Something really, really simple. The Eye of Horus, and things of that nature. So those are not symbols that are of the Most High, and they're not. And a lot of people think that that's the Egyptians and different things. Those, and a lot of people are being deceived by the Egyptian Coptic, all of those different elements and stuff. They really, really are serious about that. And they don't know, they don't understand, or they're like, please explain to me what this is about. Well, this is the reason why I'm doing my best to try to help with that. All right, back to you.
Well, I think some folks may be afraid to help because they're afraid of what they might find out. But just know that we don't operate in the spirit of fear when we are in Christ, because God has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So we have nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm. Not even fear itself.
So somebody out there got the gift of helps and want to help. Please help this child.
And if you're not, and somebody's probably saying, well, I ain't unless you pay me. Well, we can work that out.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying all that.
They're not gonna do it for free.
Yes,
I would like for them to.
They need to do it for a blessing from the Lord. But, to just help you print a file.
But you know what? It is what
if
it
you
is.
You gonna charge somebody to print one file? Boy, oh boy!
I was even willing to pay you.
Well, you don't need to pay me, but I've been helping you with this stuff all along.
I've been asking for over a month and a half.
It's been two months.
I'm sorry.
That's why you got it now.
Okay. All right. Well, we better get on the subject because God has given you something, from what I understand, very special. So
yes.
Have at it.
First off, I want to give a shout out to my father and Henderson Gines Jr. I put his whole name out there. The whole world knows. You know why? Because all of our information has been hacked. It's all on the internet anyway. So shout out to Henderson Gines Jr. He has passed on, but today was a very special day that we celebrated his life. And I was thinking about how he is a great man, or what I would consider a great man. And the reason why I say that is because, not because he was a perfect man, of course, there is no such thing other than Jesus, who is a perfect man. But the reason why I would call him a great man is because he did what was necessary even without the accolades. And I think in this social media driven world where we're all driven at, you know, have your personal brand and attract attention and to get clicks and subscribers and followers and build a bigger tribe than the next guy. And we all want to be seen and we want to have an audience. It's important that as believers, we understand that God's economy does not work the same way as the world's economy. The world says if you got more followers or if you got more attention or you got more clout or you look the best or the competition thing. But God's economy says that if you want to be the leader, you must learn to be the servant to all. God's economy says that what you do in secret is what God sees.
It makes me think about that scripture where Jesus wanted to wash their feet and said, "You're not going to wash my feet." Isn't that what they said? But he said, "Unless you let me wash your feet as a servant, then you don't have any place with me."
Yeah. And that was one thing that there are a lot of things that I admired about my father. First of all, shout out that I had a father that was around.
Hallelujah.
Because especially in our community, this society had a very specific destruction agenda. And I'm not talking about internally. I'm talking about externally. So many forces were at work to get us to the place where we are now, where the vast majority of our children are being born outside of the bounds of wedlock. And we have a fatherless crisis in our community that has really destroyed us in a lot of ways. So the fact that I actually had a black man, a melanated man, who was in my life, he was in the family, he was married to my mother, and they built a family and a life for us, just in and of itself, I'm grateful for that. But my father was a great man because he did what was necessary for our family, even if he wasn't getting the pats on the back from everybody else. Meaning, he got up and went to work every day. Meaning, he made sure that we had what we needed at all times. Shelter, education, food. I don't remember ever going hungry, ever. Now, we might have had breakfast for dinner a night or two, but I never went hungry, and there was five of us children. And I tell this story all the time. There was a period of time where I was a teenager and decided I wanted to make my own money. So I had a summer job doing telemarketing. Some of y'all remember West telemarketing services, where you used to take the calls for the infomercials, and I'd get up there and I'd take these calls for these infomercials. And it was a summer job for me, and I was making, I'm guessing here because it was a long time ago, maybe $7.25 an hour or something like that. Not a lot of money. But I remember that there was a period of time where my father worked that exact same job that I worked, making the same amount of money that I was making, feeding seven people on that $7.25 an hour. We had the same job. For me, it was a summer job to learn what the whole working world was about and to have some change in my pocket for the summertime. But for him, he was not too proud to take a job to make sure that his family didn't go under. And to me, that is one of the characteristics of a great man. That there was no one there patting him on the back saying, "You're a good dad because you did that." There was no one there on social media that he was bragging to. None of that. It was simply, "This needs to be done, and I'll do whatever it takes." And I'm not going to be too proud to take what I need to take legally, of course, to do what needs to be done. I think that my father was a great man because he made mistakes, but I saw him, especially after he gave his heart to Christ, I saw him be the type of man that would be humble enough to acknowledge when he made a mistake. And for a lot of guys, that's tough. For a lot of guys, that pride thing gets in the way, and what you mean I need to say I'm sorry? I'm not saying I'm sorry, you know, that sort of thing. But he was someone who, though strong-willed, very opinionated, if he truly saw that he truly made a mistake, I heard out of his mouth, in my own ears, I've heard him say, I'm sorry about that. And that's tough for a lot of guys. That's tough for a lot of black men in particular, because we're told in our community, you got to be hard, you got to be tough, you can't show emotion, you got to be, you know, all of these things to where you can't be vulnerable, be humble, that being humble is the opposite of rap culture, for example. But my father was, if he saw he really truly did make a mistake, he would acknowledge it. Now that didn't happen very often, but when it did happen, to me, that is the mark of someone that you really want to follow, because they are willing to adjust when they have more information or when the Holy Spirit has convicted them. And that's, you don't see that a lot. My father was a great man because he gave his heart to Christ. He was not a believer to, you know, the way the legend was told to me. He was raised in church, but he wasn't necessarily living the life of a believer until he got much older. And to hear my mother tell it, he was there, but when he got born again, when he truly committed to Christ, she said it was a radical change in their marriage, in their lives. And they were married for, I believe, 40 years before he passed. So for the first 10 or so of those years, he wasn't a believer. But for the last 30, he was. And to hear my mom tell it, it was such a tremendous difference when he submitted his life to Christ. And then that submission to Christ then expressed itself in how he managed his relationship with his wife and how he managed his household as being the father to us children. There's some things about my dad that people don't know. He did some time in the military, and he eventually, when I was in high school, ran for school board. And I said, oh, my dad was kind of doing some things. I forgot all about that. But I remember he was running for school board back when I was in high school. And what that meant for me is that he wasn't just only thinking about himself, but he was also thinking about other people. And I think that's an important characteristic for a person, especially a believer, that the scripture talks about consider the needs of others as well as yourself. That you don't forget about your own needs, but that you're not so focused on your own needs and preoccupied with your own situation that you're not able to think about other people as well. My father spent some time as a social worker. And so, again, he was helping the community. And he didn't just say the words, but he really actually lived it. And as a result, I got two extra family members whom I love dearly. I have two extra sisters now because we practiced what we preached. We were a pro-life family, and we actually practiced what we preached. My parents adopted two children who are my sisters. And they're not my adopted sisters. They're my sisters. That's all there is to it. Nobody can tell me different as far as I'm concerned. We're just as much blood as anybody else.
Thank but you for the hearts.
My parents decided that they had enough love that they wanted to expand that love by thinking about others. And to me, that makes That's another one of the characteristics that made him a great man. Another characteristic that made him a great man was that he didn't put up with a bunch of crap. My father was not, he was a very straight shooter. I think he got that from his mother, my grandmother.
I'm Anita.
I think he got that from her, but he was a straight shooter. He wasn't one to fluff you up, so to speak. He was a very straight shooter. And I think men in particular need a man that is not going to baby them. I think it's important that men encourage other men. I think it's important that men show younger men what a standard looks like. And not just a public standard, but even a standard in private when you don't think anybody is looking. That a man should have a standard and he should have character even when no one else is looking. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of his life. Maybe he had secrets, maybe he had vices, maybe all of that. But that never came nigh our household. And that wasn't the man that I knew and saw and recognized. But he was a very straight shooter. He didn't put up with a whole bunch of stuff. And he didn't really talk a lot. But when he did talk, it was powerful and it was impactful. And you knew that if he was actually talking, that it was serious enough to pay attention. And I think sometimes with social media, where everybody is saying everything, but they ain't really saying nothing, it's important to know that your words matter and you should not just use them frivolously. My father used to say, sometimes the best words you say are the words that you don't say, because everything that comes to your mind doesn't always have to come out of your mouth. You know, these are some of the things that he taught us. He taught us the value of hard work, having a work ethic. He taught us about having a neat and clean appearance and a neat and clean home. I'm looking in my mind's eye. I'm seeing my father's closet right now. My father's clothes were lined up neatly. They were pressed. They were on hangers. His shoes were lined up neatly in the garage where he had his work area. His tools were always arrayed out neatly. He was a person that had order in his life.
That might have been Mama Gines, too.
Well, of course, she helped.
She probably did washing.
She helped with that, too. And,
yeah.
And of course, her credit is due. But right now, I'm talking about him.
Yeah.
That he was an orderly person. Like, inside, his expression of his environment was an expression of order. And not like dictatorship order, but order as in things have a purpose and things have a place. And I think especially for this younger generation, which kind of seemed like they just willy-nilly anywhere, everywhere, that was an important characteristic that certainly has carried on into my life. You know, he had self-discipline, he had purpose. He continued on with school even after he had children, which, do you know how hard it is to complete school after you have children? He went on to get a master's degree. And not only did he get a degree, but he supported my mother to get her degree. Because I remember doing homework at the dining room table and my mom doing homework at the dining room table so she could complete her degree. And that couldn't have been possible if he wasn't holding things down, doing his part. And so I know that was a little bit extended. Maybe I'm just being a little nostalgic, a little bit sentimental, but because I had a father figure in my life who was a man striving to live righteously, I can see the result in my life directly, in my brothers and sisters' lives directly. I could tell you all the successes that my brothers and sisters have accomplished, and so much of that is because we had a righteous, godly man in our lives who loved his wife, our mother, and they showed us what that looks like in practice. And I'm very grateful for him, and I'm glad that God chose him to be my father. So there you have it. So love, changing topics now. Is there anything in particular that you want to jump into?
You said you had something. That's why I was making sure I got all the cleanup business out the way. Yeah. Like I said, if there's anybody out there that could help me, please, 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 with these symbols, okay? These symbols. Here are a few. Mm-hmm. Let me, I don't want to move mine.
Well,
but,
no, I got a.
But I could tell you.
I got a book, and I'm wondering, love, I'm wondering if maybe we need to do it as a special class where we can really get deep down into the guts of the symbols, because I have a book here. It's called Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, and it's 438 pages. So if you really want to get down into the deep depths of the symbols and their meanings and where they came from, we certainly could do a deep dive, and maybe I'll set that up as a class for people that want to actually get into that topic, because some people don't want to know.
Well, there may be some people that are not able to do the class, but if we do
online class.
If we do what we can do here, because I hate putting off tomorrow what you can do today. That's me. And for those that understand, there are symbols all around you. There are logos all around you. And those symbols and logos, I remember when we paid for our logo for Gospel Music Omaha, we wanted to make sure that it was free and clear of any devil symbols and things of that nature. We even, right down to the color, we wanted to make sure that even the colors were correct and were congruent, and everything was wonderful. So stick with us like we ask, and that's what we're going to do. We're also going to be showing signs. What I mean by signs is sign language. There are people that are in the deaf community, Jackie, that actually know the actual devil signs in sign language. So it's important that we as Christians don't be afraid to look at these signs and symbols and don't say, oh, I'm running, I don't want to hear it, or I don't want to see it, and things of that nature. No, you need to be informed about it, and you need to be aware of it so that you know how to pray about it.
Okay. So I'm thinking maybe do a web class, because then we can show them on the screen. It's harder to do when someone is driving on the road listening in the morning show. They can't stop or visualize what it is that we're talking about. But maybe we do a video that just runs through the symbols and talk about them. And maybe we even upload that maybe in a membership type site to the Mind His Business website, perhaps. Or we do a live class where we just kind of go through, and maybe we do it multi-weeks. And we just put out different symbols. See, like I'm just flipping through these.
I'm looking at me Lucky Charms. They magically, remember that?
Yeah.
They say magically. Those once again, those words, magic, all of those things of that nature are not of the Most High God. They're not of King Jesus. So we should.
Well, like this one right here. You know, maybe I'll just pick one.
Okay.
And this is the deck of cards. So, oh boy. All right.
Come on here, y'all. I'm not gonna leave y'all over here. Come on.
Let's
come
see.
On.
So I'm just flipping through this book of symbols. It's 438 pages, as I mentioned. So we could get into so much stuff. So this is talking about the meanings or behind the symbols that are on a deck of cards. Here, let me turn your mic down because you're moving. So this is talking about the meanings on the of symbols of a deck of cards. Now, all of us play cards, right?
I know I play spades.
Man, spades is the national black pastime, I tell you. I love playing cards. I love playing spades, and I love playing solitaire. Now, I don't gamble with cards, but I love card games because I like the gameplay itself of cards. And just for the record, I don't necessarily think that playing cards in and of itself is of the devil. But I do think that knowing the symbols behind what the cards are and what they represent may be useful as believers And maybe I might have my mind changed by the time I get done reading this passage here in this book. So let's let me take a look here. So this is talking about the playing cards. Playing cards, okay? Just your regular 52 card with the Joker deck of cards, okay? And so this book is called The Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. All right, so deck of cards. It says, I think it'd be informative to give the history and real meaning of ordinary playing cards. The following is taken from the Gospel Standard, which is somebody's book or writing. It says, quote, the first deck of cards was made for Charles of France in the year 1392. King Charles was an insane man. It's not generally known by card players that cards have a secret meaning, but after following statements were made public, the members of the gambling fraternity of professional gamblers declared that they are absolutely true. Oh boy, here we go. The king card represents the enemy of God, the devil. Oh man. Okay, I'm already starting to feel a little conviction. All right, the king card represents the enemy of God, the devil. The 10 spot represents the spirit of lawlessness and is in direct opposition to the 10 commandments of the Bible. Closely associated with the 10 spot is the club card. When cards were invented, the club was the weapon of the murderer. In those days, there were no revolvers or machine guns. The club stands for murder. The jack represents the lustful libertine who lives on the gains of prostitutes. It represents the moral leper. There's a game of cards called the brothel game, in which the players use secret obscene language of the cards and converse with each other merely by dropping a card. Believe it or not, I've seen that in a movie before. Mm-hmm. I can't think of what movie, but they had a playing card that they would use either as entrance to the place, or there was a zombie TV show where they used playing cards to communicate with each other without words so that they wouldn't get discovered. That's kind of...
There's also tarot cards.
That's kind of deep. Okay, so now let's keep going. Now we come to the part that is even more shockingly wicked. The queen card represents the Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord. In the secrets of cards, she is called the mother of harlots. The Joker card, the Joker in card language, represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Joker means fool. Jesus Christ is held up by the card players as a fool. And if this is not bad enough yet, the secret language of a deck of cards goes further and declares that Jesus, the Joker card, is the offspring of a lustful jack and the Queen Mother Mary. Oh, wow. Okay.
You okay?
Yeah, and there you have the true meaning of a deck of so-called innocent playing cards. As a little extra note, I thought it was interesting to find out that the president of the U.S. Playing Card Company from 1929 and 1930 and the president of Standard Playing Card Company in 1898 was Benjamin C. Hawks. That's his name, and he was a Mason. Wow. Many people play or gamble with the regular card deck, but is any of this pleasing to Christ, especially in light of the blasphemy that is represented by these cards? Not only do the regular playing cards come from the occultic tarot card background, but the meaning of the cards are an insult and offense to Christ and the Christian teaching of the virgin birth. Jesus did not have an illegitimate birth. Matthew states, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's Matthew 1:23. He was also named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. He came to give his life as a sacrifice on our behalf so that we may have the privilege of receiving eternal life and having our sins forgiven. I realize many people had no idea what the cards which they were using meant, but now that you know, can you still use them? That's very interesting. I'd have to do a little more research on that. See if I could find some more source material, because this person in this book is quoting someone from another book who's quoting a person. So I'd have to do a little bit more research. But isn't that interesting? That is definitely one interpretation of playing cards. Wow. Yeah, that's kind of deep, everybody. So I'm learning something in real time right along with each one of you.
Go back to those other symbols.
I'm just skimming through the book here. But definitely humanists. That's the humanist symbol. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
It was early on.
We've seen the yin and the yang symbol. Like we've seen that symbol. The pentagram, the ankh. Wow, there's a lot.
Read the one from the ankh.
Well, this symbol right here is the ankh with an E in it.
It says,
yeah, Elysium, which there was a movie called Elysium, by
sure
the way.
Was.
The happy man symbol, humanist symbols, which, by the way, Jada Pinkett Smith declares herself to be a humanistic, not necessarily atheist, but humanist. Council for Secular Humanism.
Go back to the Afro one.
Afro? I don't see no Afro. You're talking about Afro.
Go up another one.
The peace sign. All of this stuff. Yeah. So
the one below that. The right below that.
That's the secular humanist.
No, the next one up.
Well, you keep saying that there's no Afro there.
There it is. That's the
IHEU, International Humanist.
The one below it is on the
That's
Afro,
the peace symbol.
Right, that's the Afro cone on the black, all of the black combs. And
the peace symbol is an inverted and broken cross,
correct,
which is the opposite of Christianity. So, you know, the peace symbol where it's got the circle and then it's got the three lines in it for peace. That is representative of the broken cross upside down. So it's an inverted cross and it's broken. So that's what they're trying to communicate with that symbol. But yeah, this, like I said, this book is 438 pages. So there's so much stuff in here. Here's the Egyptian god right here. The cosmic egg. You've probably heard of the cosmic egg. That's a little bit more less known. The butterfly.
Ooh, do you know how many people have butterflies, Jackie? Read that one from butterflies.
Butterflies are reincarnation.
Monarch mind control. Mind control.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff. So, but I do want to just kind of, why don't you give us a few moments to talk about what symbols, what is the significance of symbols? Because you've been wanting to do this for a while. Maybe you can give us some foundation so we can dive into why do we care? Why does it matter? Why is it important?
A lot of people like to get these tattooed on their body, mm-hmm. which to me is bloodletting whenever you tattoo someone. Should I come closer? Okay. So a lot of people like these things tattooed on their body. And those tattoos are rather deep where most of the time you can't get them off. And so I was talking to my son because my son, he's a tattoo artist. And that's the reason why I was, and I said, son, why do you want to write on people's body like that? Basically, and he's, because I like it. I said, do you know what the symbols are? Or how do you do it? Do you get the stuff from a book? He said, yes. He said, they show me what it is that they like inside of a book and the picture. And then I take the needle. There's a needle. And then I started looking up about the needle. And then they were showing men that would, or women. But the one it showed was a man. He would do the tattoo, and while the person was looking away, he would lick it. That's blood. That's bloodletting, you know. Nobody should be having goat symbols and bloodletting and doing all those different things of that nature. So I said, there's something to this. And I was like, no, I need to do some research. And when I started doing research is when I started seeing other symbols, like the goat. They were saying, oh, no, that's just the greatest of all time. And I said, something's not right about this. So I looked up the goat. And they were saying that the goat is, once again,
a terrible symbol, a demonic symbol for the devil. But some people say, no, it just means greatest of all time. And I was like, no, that doesn't belong in the church. No goats belong in the church. Some people say that when goats make noises, that the goats sound like crying, screaming children. I think don't you hate goats? Then you tell me, we're not ever getting a goat. Yeah, I said, but I want to try some goat cheese. And she was like, no, you ain't trying no goat cheese.
Well, you can try goat cheese. I don't know if I want to raise any goats, though, but yeah, I'd rather raise sheep.
Yeah, and then because Halloween is coming up, that sickle, can you go up to that sickle? They have sickles like that for the Grim Reaper. I've been noticing that during Halloween, because Halloween is right... They're going to be celebrating Halloween too, Jackie. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be showing a lot of symbols and things of that nature. That is that a leprechaun back there?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a baby saying the old man is going out and the new baby's coming in.
Yeesh. Yikes.
Now, this is talking about Cupid.
Yeah, even with Cupid, they always have
a holiday
Cupid
that uses a winged god as a symbol. Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Cupido, or Cupid, the god of love, the son of Jupiter and Venus, is depicted as a naked winged baby. That sounds pedophilish. Mm. A naked winged infant armed with bows and arrows. Why would a baby have bow and arrow? Mm. The ornaments, he is generally represented amusing himself in some childish diversion. He could, in common with the rest of the idols, assume different forms. The Aeneid, he is represented as putting on the form of Ascanius at the request of his mother and going to Dido's court, where he inspired the queen with love. Yeah, that ain't no god. Another name for Cupid is Eros. We know in the Bible, in Greek, Eros is the...
lust.
Basically, the physical or lustful version of the word love.
Right.
So, yeah. It's all kind of stuff in here, folks. But, and really, if we wanted to really do this right, we would take each one of these symbols and show a symbol of a celebrity or a TV station or a logo or something that is using the same symbol, because the symbols really are telling the tale. And we talked about that before.
Oh my, I see those on the motorcycle when I was going to motorcycle class. Those wings, they had those.
Well, remember, we talked about this a couple of months ago, that when the Tower of Babel happened and God separated everybody by language so that they would not basically create a portal into the spirit realm and open up the demonic realms, he scattered their languages. And so, as we know, when you can't speak the same language with somebody, usually what do? You draw pictures. Now, this is before Google Translate and all that. Before you had Google Translate, you would draw a picture or you would point at something, an object, in order to indicate what it was you were trying to convey. And so symbols then became a universal language of sorts that would go beyond. You didn't need to know Spanish or Mandarin or Japanese or Arabic or whatever. If you saw the symbols, then everyone understood those symbols, and then symbols became the language of Babel. So for me, that would be the reason of going through an analysis of symbols and how they're being used in the secular realm, not because we want to give Satan the glory, but so that we as believers can really understand when scripture talks about Satan being the god of this world, the little g god of this world, he puts his gang signs on everything.
Ooh, say that.
Because that's really what he is he's a big bullyish gang member. And then all the folks that are in allegiance to him use the same gang symbols to indicate that they're in the same gang. Mm, mm, mm. And so, for that reason, I think it would be interesting to look at some of these symbols and kind of get a synopsis of what the symbol is, but then show how that symbol is being used today by various different companies or people or celebrities. For example, the one eye of Horus, you see people doing that all the time, or the 666 symbol.
Look at that. Look at that one right there. That one right there.
That people do that looks like the OK symbol, but it's a 666 symbol.
The one below.
This is a one world religion. And
read that.
This is also the United Nations logo, because they want it to be an alliance between all the major religions and the United Nations. So that's what these two symbols are representing here. And I know that if you're on the radio, you cannot see that, which is why maybe we need to do a video class or something like that. Let me know if you'd be interested in that. Go to gospelmusicomaha.com and go into the contact page, or let us know on our socials if you'd be interested in a deep dive on the symbols. Or you can even send a text to our
402-819-8941.
You can send a text to that number and say, "Hey, I'd like to know about the symbols class." Okay, 402-819-8941. Send us a text message and say you'd like to be in the class, or you'd like to know when the class will be, and then we'll put you on a list to let you know when that class will be if you are interested. And we'll definitely do it as an online class, so you don't have to come in person. You could just log on like a Zoom call, and then we'll go through this in a lot more depth. I think that would be interesting and useful, but it's just so hard to show things visually.
That was Russia. Wasn't that the Russian up there? At the bottom?
The communism?
Yeah.
It's talking about Gorbachev. Remember, he used to leave Russia at one point. Mentioned that he wants to see a new world order. Plans have been and are being laid for this new world order. There is even a flag called the One World Flag. Wow. So they're trying to bring
that yin and yang.
They're trying to bring Babel.
What's it say
Tower
for that
Babel
yin,
back?
What does it say for that yin and yang?
It's just a lot of stuff. I can't read that fast, love.
I just want you to
I'm good,
say,
but I'm not that good.
I just want you to say what the yin and yang was.
It's just talking about their version of the one world order. The sphere is, this is their description of what it means. The sphere is each of us. It's all of us together. It's the earth as a whole in the system or mystery that is the universe. The tree is life, becoming what it can be within and dependent on the larger sphere of light. Life, the contrasting fluid fields of dark and light are the ancient elements of earth and water, which are dark, and air and fire, which are light. So now we have worship of the creation rather than the creator.
And not only that, but some people say, are you the yin or the yang? Well, as a Christ follower, you should not be a yin or yang. You should not be on the chessboard on black or white. You should not be involved in that at all. And a lot of people are going to be upset at that, but I'm telling the truth.
Yeah. So that's what I think we should do.
Oh yeah, I recognize those.
A lot
symbols.
Of these. That's the what is that? The United States Constitution bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that infinity symbol. Because
that's
a new
on
age.
Some of my coins. Some of the coins I have.
That's a big new age symbol. Here's the symbol of the serpent in the medical field.
Ooh. That pharmakia, right?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, we just talked about pharmakia. What does that say?
It says the American Medical Association symbol is the caduceus. This is not surprising when you read the oath that doctors take. You know how every doctor has to take an oath? It's called the Hippocratic Oath.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the Hippocratic Oath?
Mm.
Well, the Hippocratic Oath states, quote, "I swear by Apollo, the physician, and Aesculapius, and health and all, heal, and all the gods and goddesses, that according to my ability and judgment, I will keep this oath and stipulation." So when you go into the medical field, the current sick care system that's in America.
Come on.
I can't call it a health care system because they if you're healthy, they don't make money. And if you're dead, they don't make money. They need you just sick enough to have to be on their medications month after month for the rest of your life. But the oath that these doctors take after they go through 12 years or however many years of medical school, and they spend their whole entire lives with this dream of helping people medically, when they get to the end of that thing and they take that oath, they're not even taking an oath to heal biblically or under God. They're taking an oath to false idols. Let me read it again. The Hippocratic Oath states, "I swear by Apollo," that's a Greek idol, "Apollo the physician, and Aesculapius," that's also a Greek idol, "and all the gods and goddesses, that according to my ability and judgment, I will keep this oath and stipulation." So your doctor, the one you go to for them checkups, mm-hmm. the one that tried to force you to take that COVID experiment, the ones that try to get your children pumped full of vaccinations that put all kind of heavy metals and animal parts and everything else in their bodies from the time they're little, wondering why all our kids got autism coming out. Mm. These same doctors, this is who they're making an oath to. They didn't take an oath to Jesus Christ, the Bible. They didn't take an oath to God. They took an oath to idols. Every single one of those medical doctors that took that Hippocratic oath made an oath to idols.
And I'm going to take it a step further. That symbol, believe it or not, when the children of Israel were bitten by the snakes and vipers, Moses is the member that said, if you look upon this, then you'll be what? Healed. But if you don't, you're going to die, because the serpents bit them all up.
I want to make sure that things are clear. Lady J is not telling you to stop going to your doctor. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that you must first consult your Bible and consult the Holy Spirit as you're making decisions about your personal health. And if something don't feel right, what the doctor says, you have every right to get a second opinion, a third opinion, a fourth opinion. It is your responsibility to read your prescriptions, to understand what it is that you're putting in your temple, to understand what the possible side effects could be, and make an informed decision on whether or not you want to take those things. I'm not telling you don't go to your doctor. I'm not giving any medical advice whatsoever. I am saying that as believers, we need to be aware that these doctors, not only are they in it for the money, let's be honest, they're doing it as a profession. They ain't doing it for free. Your doctor is not doing nothing for you for free. Either you paying out of pocket or they're getting paid through insurance, but they're not working for free. So that means that there is an financial incentive for your doctor. That's number one. Number two, these doctors are making oaths to idols, which means that if something comes down to you having to do something that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do versus something that the world, who is financially incentivized, is wanting you to do, you must make your decision according to the Holy Spirit's leading. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying that I was on a lot of medication. Jackie, tell them. I was on so much medication that I had bags and bags full of medication. And the bags and bags full of medication, I said, and I was getting sicker, and I was, you know, so you should actually, if you know your physician, you know him, they're you know, you really should check on that. And I thank God that I did, because that stuff was literally, it was trying to put me down. And when I say put me down, I don't mean as in, oh, just make me sad. All right.
So there are many incentives that doctors do receive for various medications. There's also incentives that they receive for pushing certain pharmaceuticals.
You done?
Like, for example, if you have ever watched TV and you see an ad for a medication, you know how they say, ask your doctor if this medication is right for you.
Right.
And they show all the happy, smiling people doing activities, sitting in the park, playing with their dog. But then in the background, you hear them say, may cause diarrhea, may cause heart failure, may cause blah, 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 blah. Right. And they say it real fast, and it's almost like they whispering it because it's kind of real low and real fast. Because they don't want you to pay attention to that part. They want you to see the happy people on there chasing their dog in the park. And then they tell you to go and ask your doctor. Well, why would you need to ask your doctor?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So you're basically telling the doctor, I think I have left arm scratch disease. Can you give me that special? And the pharmaceutical company incentivizes those doctors to do those medications. There's some people that their whole job, did you know their whole job is to go and sell different medications to doctors, different medical equipment, different medical techniques. They literally, they're salespeople to say, oh man, I know you've been using this metformin forever, but we got this new medication right here. You should try this one out with your patients and see how that goes. And there's a financial industry that's around all of that. And I'm simply saying that so much of our lives is being manipulated by a profit motive that we should be very interested in getting healthy naturally as much as possible using rest, water, eating actual food, right? De-stressing our lives. The easiest and best way to de-stress your life is to trust in the Lord. Because once you know that He is a good Father and He gives good gifts to His children and that all things will work together for those who are called according to His purpose, that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, the more we press into that, getting our rest, getting our water, getting our proper food, getting our exercise, and removing the anxieties from our lives through trust in Christ, the more we are able to accomplish that goal, the more healthy that our physical temples can be. Because even the scripture says that He wants our physical body to be in health. And I think I'll end with this here. Let me pull up this
verse. Even as your soul prospers.
Absolutely.
Right.
Let me pull that up. So you're already there. You already know what I'm going to quote.
Come on here.
It's 3 John chapter 2. Now, 3 John is the last book before the book of Revelation. So you know the last book in the Bible is Revelation. There's a book right before that. There's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 John is very short. It's only 14 verses. That's it. But the first verse, we're gonna use that one. And we're going to close out with this one right here. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health.
Yes.
Even as thy soul prospereth.
Hallelujah.
So what is he saying here? He's saying, I want you to be spiritually prosperous and physically prosperous. I want you to be spiritually healthy, and I want you to be physically healthy. Both. So much of our society focuses on physical health. You got to get that six pack. You got to have that snatched waist. You got to have that shape. You got to have that bikini body. You know, you got to have, you know, we focus on this physical. You got to have the guns on your arms. You know, you got to have them biceps. You got to.
They're dropping dead too.
You know, you got to have all mm-hmm. these physical things.
Yeah.
And you literally have gym rats. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Where they hang out in the gym all day, working out all day, every day. And their bodies are like hyper developed, right? Really, really hyper developed. I mean, you can see they're putting in work. They're putting in time and their bodies look great. My question is, are they putting that same amount of time and energy into their spiritual life as they are their physical life? And then there's some of us in church, we do real good with Bible study, real good with prayer, real good with attending fellowship with believers, real good with the spiritual things of life. But we eat too much at the buffet after church every Sunday, and we're overweight, mm-hmm. and we huffing and we puffing, and we got CPAP machines, and we on the diabetes drugs, and we're doing all these things where we're spiritually hyper-developed, but our physical health is not where it should be. What this verse is saying here is that we want both things to prosper and be in health, both our physical body and our spiritual life.
I was thinking about, there's a scripture that talks about physical. I know you can look that mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
It profits some.
He's but saying, it's not everything. But there are people that are gym rats and different things of that nature that are making their body look good, but their spiritual body, their spiritual is, as they would say, out of shape.
Now, it is, if I had to choose, if I wanted to say choose one or the other, I would tell you always choose your spiritual health, because this physical body is passing away. This whole world is passing away.
Yes.
You know, we should not be holding on to a world that is passing away. Or stated another way, have you ever heard about the Titanic? The Titanic was that huge ship.
Oh, yeah.
And it sank. There's a phrase that's out there. You just rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Meaning, if you're spending all this time and energy developing your physical life to the detriment of your spiritual life, it's like rearranging chairs on the Titanic.
Did you find that scripture?
This body, I'm getting there. This body is going to get old. It's going to die. Unless the Lord comes before you die, this body is going to pass away. And so if you had to choose between your spiritual health and your physical health, choose your spiritual health. But in the ideal situation, both your physical and your spiritual health, we want it to be prosperous and in good health.
Well, people ask me, how did I lose all that weight? I lost a whole lot of weight. I mean it. And I discovered that my body does put on more weight in the winter at times, but you know, when it gets colder, your body does what it does to self-protect and self-preserve you. So you'll put on a few pounds to protect you from the cold. Your body senses winter, summer, spring, fall. But they said, how did you lose all that weight? And I told them, I said, because I fasted and I prayed. During that time that I was not eating, I was fasting and praying, saying, help me, King Jesus, because I don't know what these people are doing and I don't know what's going on. And a lot of you know, when I had the stroke, they said, oh, girl, you must have made somebody mad you had a stroke, because they used to have that old wives tale, if you make somebody mad, you know. I believe that the stroke was because I was too late. I was too heavy. Okay.
And too stressed out.
Too stressed out. Worrying about other people's business and probably leaving mine alone, which it shouldn't have been. I should have been minding my own business and leaving everybody else's business alone. Because a lot of times we should not be trying to have a heaven or a hell to put anyone in. You ought to examine yourself. And that's what I've been doing. I'm not trying to tell nobody what to do. I'm not trying to do none of that like that. Okay. And I've been noticing that a lot of the things that I had, remember they told me, but I was scared of those needles though. They said, we want you to stick this in your stomach. You want me to what? Stick what? Where? And how many times you want me to do this? That's a no for me, dog. Go ahead.
So I'm just going to end it out on this verse that you asked me to pull up here. It's 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life which is to come.
Hallelujah.
So there is some value in physical exercise. There is certainly value of being in physical health and physical prosperity. But if you have to choose between the two, the spiritual godliness is of far greater value. And I'll read it one more time here before we sign off. For bodily exercise profiteth little, or a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, because it has the promise of the life that we have right now and of the life which is to come. When this body is old and it doesn't work as good as it used to, or when it's sagging a little more, it's a little closer to the floor than it used to be when we were young and perky.
You're older. even if you were in good shape, there are people that are in shape and they look good, but they work out, but their body still doesn't look the same when they were 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
But if you want to be around to praise and worship the Lord, having physical health is a part of that. And so, of course, you know, we encourage both physical as well as spiritual health. Yes. But if you have to choose between the two, because sometimes things happen that are beyond our abilities to just solve with a glass of water, right? Even if you have challenges that may be difficult to overcome, just remember that this body is just a tent. It's just a temporary home, but our eternal home is where we're headed. And God will give you grace through whatever physical challenges you may be facing. He knows how to give you grace to bear up under it and bear up through it. And that eventually this body, this corruptible body, is going to be replaced with an incorruptible body given to us directly by our Father in heaven. And we look forward to the day when we can see Christ face to face, just as he is, without this veil of this fleshly realm in the way. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I hope that you are too. And I just pray that if you don't yet know Jesus as your personal Savior, that today will be the day that you commit to him, and that you cast all of your sins and all of your cares upon him, because he cares for you.
Hallelujah.
Don't delay. Don't wait another day. Today is your day of salvation. Believe on Jesus and you will be saved.
And we do want to encourage you, as every time, I mean it, start stocking up on your water. Isn't that right? One of the ways that I was able to lose a lot of weight was to flush out a lot of the toxins out of my body when I was fasting. There were times when I didn't eat any food at all, and there were other times when I literally had spring water, and the spring water was able to flush things out. And I really did have a lot more clarity about me, not about anybody else, as far as personally dealing with my health. So I recommend spring water, because it has all 120, some people say 153 minerals in it. So a lot of people said, how did you do it? I drank a lot of spring water. And there are some people that eat their water. They'll eat watermelon, and they'll eat limes and different things, and lemons and ginger, and a lot of foods that like that give you a lot of brain power. So I just wanted to let you know, walnuts and all that wonderful mango seeds. There's detoxing seeds. What were the seeds that we just talked about?
Papaya seeds.
Yeah, papaya seeds. You can actually don't chew them. Don't chew the papaya seeds. Literally swallow them whole. You say, well, how many? You can actually swallow 4 or 5. And some people just take a handful and they'll swallow them. So it's up to you. And don't be surprised if you don't see things come out in your stool to start detoxing your body and cleansing your body, and also cleansing your mind, because papaya seeds also make sure that there's nothing inside of your brain cells in the blood-brain area, which is in this area right here. See this area?
this area right here. Some people call that the Holy of Holies, and things of that nature, which is why a lot of people say, no, they won't get swabbed up their nose. They don't want anybody piercing their blood-brain barrier. So thank you, Jackie, for allowing me to tell them to drink, get your water, get up on your water. People always talk about storing up food. People always talk about dehydrate food. But did you know you can't undehydrate the food if you don't have water? If you don't have water, you can, if I'm not mistaken, you can have a whole lot of dry food going on. But if you don't have any food, water to reconstitute that or drink and things of that nature, and watermelon, things, mango and other things that provide your body where you can eat your water, then that is just as bad as dehydration. And that's just as bad as eating the bad stuff.
I said I was going to end, and I got some new information up. We're going into the fall as of this recording, and there's been a lot of things in the news about get your vaccinations, vaccinations, vaccinations. And remember earlier when I was saying there's a financial incentive for the doctors to give vaccinations?
Oh, yeah.
I want to just briefly give you an example of one of the incentives that doctors had during the COVID situation. And I'm not going to be long about this, but I have this document pulled up. This is Anthem Medicaid COVID-19 Vaccine Provider Incentive Program. So literally this program says, this is just one of the programs, and it was in during the COVID-19 time, and this particular one was in Kentucky. I just picked one. It says that how you can qualify for a bonus: if your practice meets the below thresholds for vaccination with at least one dose by September 1st, 2021, you'll receive an initial incentive payment based on the following rates. And then there was a final incentive payment calculated on the total numbers vaccinated between September 1st and December 31st of 2021. So what it said was, if your doctor was able to get 30% of their members vaccinated with the COVID shot, they would get $20 bonus per person that they managed to get that shot to, all the way up to 75%. If they got 75% of their patients COVID shots, they would get a $125 bonus for just the first payment.
Ooh.
And then there was a final incentive. If they got 75% of their people vaccinated, they got another incentive of $250 per vaccinated member. So now let's put that into real numbers that would make sense for you and me. Let's say that your doctor has 100 patients. Your doctor would then have an incentive to say, you really should take this COVID injection.
Yeah, it's an infection, all right, one you can't get rid of.
If your doctor was able to convince 75 of those 100 patients, including you, to take that shot, they would get, let me get my calculator out. Let me get my calculator out. Here's my calculator.
Oh, you're going to bring it home.
I'm not
huh?
making this up. This is, on, this, this is on the COVID provider incentive program. I'm not making this up.
So you can look it up for yourself.
So if your doctor had 100 patients, your doctor was very motivated to make sure that you got that COVID shot. Because if he was able to get 75% or 3 out of 4 of you to take that shot, he'd get $125 per person. So if he got 75 of you to take that shot, 75 times $125, he got $9,375, almost $10,000 to convince you to take that COVID shot.
For each person?
Total.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then he would get a final payout. That was just the first payment. He would get $250 as a final payment. So basically he got the down payment. And then he would get the final payment. So if he got 75 out of his 100 patients to take the second payment, will be 75 times 250. $18,750 plus the $9,000 and some odd he already got.
What?
So if your doctor had 100 patients and he convinced 3 out of 4 of y'all to take that shot, he walked home in his pocket $18,750 plus 90, we'll call it $9,250 or $9,500 for round number. He walked home with $28,000 to convince you to put an experimental injection in your body during COVID. And this is, you can see on the screen, if you're looking on the screen.
Hold on, let me bring it on over, y'all.
This
Hold
is
on.
The Anthem Medicaid COVID-19 Vaccine Provider Incentive Program.
Hold on, I got y'all. Hold on. Hold
by
on.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Hold on.
So, I'm saying all that to say, not even to say that you're right or wrong for taking a shot. What I'm saying is that there was a money motivation for your doctor to really push for you to get that shot. I'm rolling through for those that are looking on the video here. See this right here? If they got 75% of their members to take that shot, they got a first payment of $125, and then they got a final payment bonus of another $250 at the end of the program.
Oh.
And here's all the websites. I'm not making this up. Providers.anthem.com/Kentucky for more information. And this is just one of them.
You know, they might but not let this air. You know that, right?
I don't care whether they let it air or not. My radio listeners, my family that's here in the radio land, y'all heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. This is their documentation. So what am I saying? I'm saying that your doctors have a motivation. And sometimes that motivation is not about health, but it is about finances. And as the saying goes, you show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome.
Right.
That's why there was so much pressure from a lot of doctors to get their patients these shots. Mm. That's why there was so much pressure, because they were getting a kickback to get people to take the shot. Why am I saying this? Because you're saying, well, COVID was, you know, that was back in 2020. The reason I'm saying this is because if that strategy worked so well last time, the next time something happens, that same pressure is going to be there. But you'll be smarter this time to say maybe they're having some financial motivation why they're pressing this so hard. And that's why I'm saying at the end of the day, the more healthy and strong you can get your immune system and the more naturally you can take care of your physical health and have your physical body prosperous, and the more you can be in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, you're reading your word, you're fellowshipping with believers, you're getting your spiritual health in order, the more discernment you will have when faced with the next okey-doke, let's put it that way, the next crazy thing that happens in our society, the more adaptable you will be to be able to see things with spiritual eyes, to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to walk the path that the Spirit wants you to walk and not just follow just because they said something on the news.
You really have to be ready, because how many people can do without being able to receive money or being able to receive food stamps or being able to receive how many?
Yeah, so that's my encouragement to you. As I mentioned before, I'm going to repeat it. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying doctors are bad. I'm not saying that your medications you're on are wrong for you. I'm saying nothing like that. What I'm saying is that in all things we want to do our research, especially when it comes to our physical health. We don't want to just do things out of fear. We don't want to do things out of pressure. We do want to remember that in some cases there might be a financial motivation behind some of the recommendations that are being made.
It's not worth it.
And it's up to each one of us to follow the Holy Spirit and to follow the Word of God in all of our decisions. And He will direct our paths, just like it says in Hallelujah. Proverbs.
Hallelujah.
It says that, what does it say?
In all
Seek
ways,
the Lord.
Acknowledge Him and He will... That one?
Yep, that one.
Yes.
Go ahead and quote it.
In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And we're talking about King Jesus, and He will direct your path. He will direct our path.
Amen. Well, I'm going to leave it there. I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
We'll see you next time.
Ciao.